Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Tom Schreiner to the podcast. Dr. Schreiner serves as the James Buchanan Harrison Professor of New Testament Interpretation and Professor of Biblical Theology, and is the Associate Dean of the School of Theology at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Dr. Schreiner, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Dr. Allen, it's my delight to be with you today.
Well, that's great to have you on the podcast today, and you're one of the guests I've really looked forward to in recent weeks. And of course, our listeners know you and your writing ministry and teaching ministry as well. And so we look forward today to talking about preaching the book of Revelation. And we have, through my podcast over the past couple of years, been building out a series where I'm interviewing different authors or different preachers on preaching particular books in the Bible, of course, with the goal to be able to roll that up with a conversation about preaching each of the 66 books of the Bible. And so, delighted to have you today to talk about preaching the book of Revelation. But before we get to that, would you give our listeners a little bit of an update on you and your family and your ministry, writing and otherwise?
Yeah, I mean we're doing well. We have four children and we have nine grandchildren and one more on the way. So we're so excited about that. I just am finishing my 23rd year at Southern Seminary, which has been a great delight. And right now I have a commentary on Luke coming out in the ESV, Expository Commentary Series. And then I have a book, which is at Crossway Publishers right now, on the theology of the book of Revelation. And my big project is I'm working on a commentary on Revelation in the Baker Exegetical Commentary of the New Testament series. So that's going to take me a while, but that's my big project.
Yeah. Any rough sense of when each of those three books will come out?
Well, I think Luke should come out any time. I don't. They haven't told me, but they've had it for a while. Well, come to think of it, I haven't received the galleys yet, so I guess that's still going to be sometime this year. The book on the theology of Revelation should come out next year because they're going to send it back to me for review in November or December, and then the commentary. I don't know. That's a longer project. It's a more detailed commentary. I did do a commentary on Revelation in an ESV Expository Commentary Series as well. So I've already done a shorter one. So hopefully I'll have enough birthdays to finish the second one.
Right, right. Well, I suspect you will. Well, listen, just having you in this conversation and on the phone to record, we are having this conversation in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. And so we are in early May talking, and just campus here is quiet and slow, and campus in Louisville is quiet and slow, and there's so much going on. But having this conversation with you takes me back to my MDiv days in Louisville and at Southern Seminary, and the opportunity to serve there in other capacities. But I say in my MDiv days because I had you for Romans, and I well remember that class and time with you, and just have appreciated your ministry for so many years. So thank you so much for making time to be with us today.
Well, it's my delight, Dr. Allen, and it's wonderful to see how God is using you, and he's put you in such a significant position for the evangelical world and for Southern Baptists in particular.
Well, God is good, and we are trying to be faithful, and so we'll leave it at that. So let's talk about the book of Revelation, and I guess for me on the front end, I would love to hear just your general interest. Why Revelation? Why a commentary and a book on the theology of Revelation and another commentary coming? Kind of in your own mind and heart and your ministry, where has that book ranked by way of interest, and why has it shown up there?
You know, the genesis of my interest was not a very noble motive, actually. I was, I love all the books in the Bible, but in 1983 to 86, I taught at a college called Azusa Pacific University. I started out making $16,000 a year. My wife was at home with our children. And I needed to teach extra courses. So the first May, I offered an introduction to the New Testament, and it didn't make. And honestly, I needed the money. So I thought, well, what can I offer that I think for sure would make? And I picked the Book of Revelation, and it did make, Dr. Allen. So that was my initial interest. But as I began to teach it, I realized, oh, this book has a ton to say to the church today. It isn't just academic. Of course, it is academic, but it's also a powerful book pastorally. And I preached through it. I was a preaching pastor at Clifton from 1997 through 2015. So I preached through Revelation as it gripped my heart, maybe around 2005. And I just grew to love the book. And then Dr. Jim Hamilton, whom you know, one of the editors for the ESV Expository Commentary Series, asked me, would you write a commentary on Revelation for us? And so I agreed to do it. And, you know, the rest is history, I guess.
And remind me, you've taken something of a journey since you first taught it at Azusa Pacific, as far as your approach to the book, right? I mean, you come at it now from a historic premillennial approach, but weren't you a mill at one time in there?
Well, you know, Dr. Allen, I kind of go back and forth between historic pre-mill and all-mill. But I've also, you know, early in my history, I was dispensational pre-mill. So I think the millennial question is a really difficult question to unravel. The millennial question isn't really what drew me to the book. I think there are very good arguments on all sides of that question. So, yeah, I'm happy to talk about it further if you want to, but I've been all over the map personally.
Well, you can write different commentaries in different series from different perspectives, I guess, but that probably wouldn't be good for your career long term. All right, let's move into the book itself. The book of Revelation, give us the broad contours. I mean, many of us look at it and see, you know, chapter one, the person of Christ, chapters two and three, the seven letters to the seven churches, four and five, these seven worship scenes, 6 through 19, judgment and chaos, and then the final judgment, and then new heavens and new earth at the end. Is that an oversimplification of the book?
No, I don't think so, actually. I mean, it's a broad outline, but I think it's roughly correct. I mean, I think, you know, what's important to note about that first, Jesus Christ is central in the book, right, from the very first vision. And then you have the letters to the churches. This book was written to Christians who lived in contemporary Turkey, Asia Minor. And then we see that great vision of God as creator and Christ as redeemer in chapters 4 and 5. And then it is correct. Chapters 6 through 19 focus on judgment. I mean, you have the seals. We could say roughly chapters 6 through 7, the trumpets, 8 and 9, the bowls, 15 and 16. But we do have interleaved. In between, you have the sealing of the 144,000, the saving of the uncountable multitude. You have the Satan thrown out of heaven, and you have the beast and the false prophet, and we could say in 17 through 19 the judgment of Babylon, the great harlot. But it is correct, right? The focus is on judgment. And do you want me to say a word why I think that is?
Yes, please.
So why is there so much about judgment in the book? A hermeneutical question I love to ask, and I think it's a great preaching question as well. Who's reading the book? It is not addressed to unbelievers. Unbelievers aren't reading this book. Why, when you're writing to believers, do you write so much about judgment, especially if unbelievers aren't reading it? What is the effect, and this is where it relates to preaching, right? What effect does John want to produce in his readers by the Holy Spirit. And I think we can say a couple things. First of all, the readers of this book were tempted to compromise with the state, with the totalitarian power, which I think was Rome in the ancient world. So there's a totalitarian state demanding a complete allegiance. And the church is tempted for economic reasons, for reasons of avoiding martyrdom, right? Some believers are being put to death. The church is tempted to give in, to compromise. And John is saying to the church, look, these people, this your opponents, things are not going to go well with them. They are going to be judged. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They are going to suffer forever and ever. You don't want to join with them. You don't want to experience the destiny they're going to experience. So I like to say to my students, and I preach this as well, one purpose of the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of judgment, is to encourage saints to persevere. Hang on, John is saying. And then I think the second thing he's saying is God is just, right? God is fair. God always does what is right. If you're suffering as a believer, if you feel beleaguered, oppressed, if when believers are being put to death, that isn't happening in the United States right now, as far as we know. But does God love us? Does God care about us? Is God going to vindicate us? And of course, we know believers are being put to death around the world today. And the answer of the book of Revelation is yes. God will vindicate his own. The day of judgment is coming. God is absolutely fair. He's absolutely just. Yeah. So he's saying to the readers, you can trust him. You can give your life to him. And of course, the greatest example of all is Jesus. Jesus was unjustly put to death. But God vindicated him and raised him from the dead. And I think John is saying, he's going to do the same for you. And hang in there, be encouraged, persevere, endure to the end.
So the book itself, apocryphal literature, what should we keep in mind, interpretively speaking, as we look at the book and with that type of genre?
Yeah, the genre of Revelation is most interesting. You know, John, here's just an interesting observation. John never calls it apocalyptic literature, although that's the first word in the book, apocalypsis, from which we get our word apocalyptic. And the word apocalyptic means an unveiling, a revealing. But John calls it a prophecy several times. He calls it a prophecy. And of course, we have in chapters 2 through 3 letters. So I, along with most scholars, I think it's fair to say we have, it's epistolary literature. We have letters. It's prophecy, but it's a particular kind of prophecy. And I think it is legitimate to use the word apocalyptic. And apocalyptic literature is characterized by a supernatural unveiling, usually through an angelic figure to a human being, where it's revealed to this person what is to come, and it's a call to the church to respond in a certain way. Apocalyptic literature is marked by symbolism, by numerology, the use of numbers. Why would John write in such a way? I mean, we have apocalyptic literature in Zechariah 9-14, parts of Daniel, Ezekiel, parts of Isaiah. But I think apocalyptic literature seizes the imagination. I remember the first time I ever read the book of Revelation. So I became a Christian when I was 17. I wasn't nurtured in evangelical circles as a young person. So I had no one had ever taught me the book of Revelation. And I read it and I thought, I don't know what this all means. But it's an encouraging book, and I understand that the Lord wins at the end. But I think it's difficult for us because of the symbolism in the book. So can I give one example?
Please do.
The enemies the enemies of the people of God. We have the first and the second beast. They're two beasts. Now, you know, whatever you make of that, everybody agrees that's a symbol, right? The enemies of the people of God, they're not, it's not literally a creature that's part leopard, part lion, and part bear. That is a symbol that John is using. And one of the reasons we debate is, how do we decode that symbol? What does that symbol mean? And sometimes John doesn't tell us very much about how to unravel the symbol. Sometimes we have more information than others. But the key, the absolute key, the most important thing, even though we're all going to differ on some details, surely, is the Old Testament. The book is infused with allusions to the Old Testament. So I think one of the reasons, Dr. Allen, we struggle with the book of Revelation is because a lot of us, we don't know the Old Testament very well. Mm. So we resort to, sometimes in evangelical circles, we resort to what I call newspaper eschatology. You know, we start reading the news of today to try to understand what the book is saying. But I think John wants us to look back to the Old Testament.
So you've already touched on this, but I want to tee you up to speak more. And that is the idea of the preachability of the book. I think many pastors, many Bible study leaders, they look at the book and, I mean, they see a lot of fire and brimstone and death and judgment. And they're trying to say, is this literal? Is this figurative? And just it all kind of pings back at them in a way that it looks like too much work, too much effort, too much probability to misinterpret something or many things. And so they just shy away from preaching it. Is that fear well placed or not?
I understand it. I understand the fear. But I think we don't want to go there. We want to preach the book. And so I want to say, look, there's a lot of different ways to preach the book, right? But when I preach the book, sometimes preachers fear, well, I don't want to spend 6 years in Revelation. Well, I don't think you need to spend 6 years in Revelation. You could do a sermon on chapter one. Maybe you want to do 7 sermons on chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the 7 churches. But then you can do a sermon on chapter 4, a sermon on chapter 5. But when you get to the judgments, I would argue, yeah, you could do 1 sermon on the seal judgments, one sermon on the trumpets, one on the bowls. You don't have to descend into the details. You can give your hearers a big picture. Even if you don't know all the details, it's helpful to communicate to the people in the pew today that what is going on in the book. Clearly those passages are talking about judgment, however you understand it. And so the major themes we definitely need to hear. And I haven't said anything about the new creation, the cross, Christ. I mean, maybe we're going to talk about those things.
So to what extent should our listeners who are contemplating preaching the book of Revelation, I mean, how much front-end work should they do to hammer out if they view the book, and for that matter, view Scripture, you know, from a historic pre-mill, an a-mill, a pre-trib, mid-trib, post, you know, how much do they need to hammer out their eschatology to be able to preach the book in a way that is explainable to the people of God? Now, I'm teeing you up there. I know what you're going to say, but I want to tee you up to say it.
Yeah. A lot of people already have their minds made up on that as preachers anyway, and that's fine. But I would argue, now you don't have to have every piece nailed down to preach the book well. I would argue that your millennial view, I mean, that's important, but I like to always say to my students, your millennial view is important, but remember something about the millennium. It ends. Right. Eternity lasts forever. So it's not that important. I mean, it's important, but it's everything in Scripture is important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the new creation. And as evangelicals, we often get fixated on millennial views when we come to Revelation, when the new creation is eternal. So I think we could preach the book well and not have everything nailed down. In fact, my experience is a lot of people who've heard me preach the book, they come up and say to me, you know, thank you for saying you're unsure about some things. I don't think it's helpful as a preacher week after week to say, I don't know. But I think for us to never communicate, oh, I'm not, I'm, this is difficult. This is hard. And I think one way to do that is say, this is difficult. This is hard. Here's where I land and why. So you could do that with the more controversial passages as you work through the book and still communicate to your hearers the glorious themes in the book.
Right. And having A, interpretive humility, and then B, enough comfortability in your own skin to say to the church on occasion, you know, here's what I understand this passage to be saying, and here's what I believe about it. Respected Bible scholars take a different approach, but here's why I lean this way. And so if there's any book in the Bible that calls for some pastoral hesitancy on occasion when they preach it, I mean, it's the book of Revelation. And so I don't want our listeners to think that if they're not preaching 22 chapters with full-throated confidence in exactly what every respective part means, they're underserving the people of God. In fact, that they are probably underserving the people of God if they seek to preach all 22 chapters in a way where they speak with full confidence about every single subpart, what they mean, what they don't mean.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So preaching the book of Revelation, then what would you say to us is some of the key difficulties that our listeners need to keep in mind? Like, watch out for these challenges.
Well, I think the key difficulties, I think the hardest passages to decode are when are the seal judgments taking place, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, and then it's hard to know exactly what are those judgments, right? John doesn't give us a lot of information. You know, stars falling from heaven, and all the waters are embittered. Is that a literal picture? Is that it? Maybe it is. But John doesn't give us many details, so interpreters differ a lot on what those passages are. But that's when I want to zoom out again and say, whatever that judgment is, even whenever you place that judgment, we know it's a judgment. We know it's a judgment on unbelievers. So that's a difficult passage. The two witnesses, I mean, that's in chapter 11. That is greatly debated who those two witnesses are. And of course, the millennial passage as well, chapter 20. The sealing of the 144,000 in chapter 7 is a matter of great debate. So, you know, those are quite a few passages in the book, though, right there. I mean, we're talking about chapter 6, 7, 8, 9. Chapter 11 is a difficult passage. And then chapters 15 and 16, chapter 20. So there are a lot of passages that there's significant debate.
So with that being said, make the opposite case. Why should pastors be thinking the next book I'm going to preach through may need to be Revelation? What about the book draws preachers to it?
Yeah. So this is actually my main theme when I teach it. So, you know, we do the vision of Christ, and I show students, look at the Christology of Revelation. Look who Jesus is, that wonderful vision of Jesus in chapter 1. And then there are all these places where John pairs together God and the Lamb. And I point out to the students over and over again, do you notice the high Christology there? Jesus as the Lamb is put on the same level as God. And then just beautiful intertextual images. I mean, I'll just give you one example. Chapter 7, verse 17, maybe 16, where he says, the lamb will shepherd them. So this is a great example of the beautiful Christology of the letter. Obviously, that goes back to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But notice what he says, the lamb is my shepherd. And lambs aren't shepherds. Well, this lamb is, right? It's talking about Jesus. So we see the person of Jesus and then the work of Jesus. Right away in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, he released us from our sins by his blood. And the great dramatic scene in chapter 5, who is worthy to take the book from the hand of God the Father and open it in the seals of the scrolled book? And it's Jesus who is the lion, but also the lamb who is slain, who purchased some from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And chapter 7, who's the uncountable multitude who are saved? They are those whose robes were made white by the blood of the Lamb. So I like to say to the students, you know, Revelation is about some really strange things, like the centrality of Jesus Christ. He is fully God and fully man. I'm being a little sarcastic. It's not full of strange things. Jesus redeemed us by his blood. And then this powerful picture of God as creator in chapter 4. So Revelation emphasizes God is absolutely sovereign when we're suffering. A good reminder, even for what we're going through right now all around the world with COVID, God reigns, God rules. That doesn't mean suffering doesn't hurt, it hurts. But Jesus says, I hold the keys of death and Hades. So to a suffering church, when you're going through hard times, Revelation teaches us God rules. God's in control. God loves us. Everything will turn out well. There's a new creation coming. There's a day coming where there'll be no tears, no crying, no pain. And then what I mentioned earlier in the conversation is again and again, he calls on the church, don't compromise. Don't worship the beast or its image. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't compromise with the totalitarian state. Because those who compromise will end up in the lake of fire. So endure, hang on. And that's a major theme of those seven letters as well. Conquer, overcome, make it to the end. Not in our own strength, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but we're called upon to endure. So powerful, wonderful themes to preach. And at least when I preached it in our church, and I think many preachers can say this, our people loved it. I think they were fed by it. It wasn't just, oh, this is satisfying their curiosity. I think it satisfied their souls.
Well, we need to end on that note because that is the key takeaway perhaps from the conversation today. The book of Revelation does not merely satisfy our curiosities, but it satisfies our souls. And our preaching should be aimed that way. Our study should be aimed that way. And that is why we come to the book of Revelation, the great capstone book in our Bibles. Dr. Schreiner, thank you for helping us think through this book carefully today and for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Well, Dr. Allen, it was my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.